WNYC and Money Talking are supported by the Cy Sims Foundation since 1985, dedicated to a better life through advancements in education, scientific research, and the arts, and the Cy Sims School of Business and Executive MBA program at Yeshiva University.
This is Money Talking from WNYC. Good morning, I'm Charlie Herman. If you haven't heard, the federal government is back up and running after a last-minute deal that ended the 16-day shutdown and raised the amount of money that the government can borrow to pay its bills. For now. With me, WNYC contributors Joe Nocera with The New York Times and Rana Fruhar with Time Magazine. And Joe, this agreement funds the government through the middle of January. It raises the debt ceiling until the beginning of February. So what kind of grade would you give it?
Oh, I'd give it a C-.
Just a C-, a passing grade.
But it does have a passing grade, and the reason is because we've averted catastrophe once again. We haven't defaulted on our debt. But, you know, this is not economically helpful to just hold this off for another 3 or 4 months. And business people are pretty upset about it, and it is going to sort of depress the economy till we know whether or not in January or February we go through the same thing again.
Rana, what grade would you give it?
I'm actually going to agree with Joe. I think C- is spot on. And one of the things that interested me after the deal was cut is that gold prices rose. Now, gold is considered a safe haven. That's where investors go when they're feeling worried about things in the markets. And it's kind of fascinating because you didn't see it spike before the deal, but you did after, which to me says the markets are really not happy about something that kicks the can down the road a few weeks and are worried that we might be there again.
But strangely enough, the markets didn't really react that negatively during the whole negotiations, during the whole shutdown period. So the question is, if the markets are pretty sanguine about this, do we really have to worry about the markets if they're not responding when we're in crisis mode?
Well, I mean, two things. One is that I think that there's always this kind of strange existential divide between Wall Street and Washington, where Wall Street just cannot believe that this is going to happen, and they keep waiting until the last minute. And you did see the markets get very volatile in the few days before. But there's a very interesting new study out, actually, from the Peterson Foundation, and it tallies what things would have looked like if we had ideal policy, right, if Washington was actually working. And their estimates are that it shaved 1% off GDP growth, which is a significant figure, and cost us 2 million jobs.
So if what is happening in Washington is not necessarily helping the economy, not helping job growth, Joe, how is business responding to this?
Well, you saw over the last few days especially business people acting perplexed because they worked hard to get Republicans into office in many cases. And now they're thinking, what are these guys doing? And there's a lot of talk about the Chamber of Commerce and other big business lobbies trying to back centrist Republican candidates in primaries because they can't control the Tea Party.
It's the idea that the business leaders, if they're going to give economic support to the Republican Party, they want to have a voice in how the decisions they're making?
A voice understates it, yes.
Yeah.
Well, Rana, if you look at some of the economic pain that we've been through the past 2 weeks, is it just happening now or does it linger? Does this continue on for months and months ahead?
I think it definitely lingers. I mean, you saw several weeks, even months actually, before the crisis, you saw business confidence, CEO confidence really going down. You saw consumer confidence start to tank. And I think that now that we've kicked the can into February, I don't think you're going to see a lot of CEOs say, oh, I'm going to start spending now. I'm going to put that new factory in. I'm going to make this new investment. There's just a lot of uncertainty still.
What does this mean for consumers, especially going into the holiday season, which is perhaps the biggest shopping season of the year?
Yeah, most retailers make the majority of their money in the fourth quarter. And you're seeing surveys saying that over half of consumers are going to have their wallets buttoned up more tightly than they would have beforehand.
Well, let's move away, if we can, for just a moment from the debt ceiling, because there are other business stories that are happening. And one that really was quite interesting this week was Angela Ahrendts, who's the CEO of Burberry, the luxury British fashion brand, is leaving the company to become the retail chief at Apple. What can we expect? Are we going to see a lot of checks and tartans on our iPhones coming soon?
Well, it's funny because she actually got rid of some of the checks and tartans when she was at Burberry because there was so much counterfeiting of the product and she wanted to sort of shift the brand identity. But I think that what this speaks to is the feminization of the technology business. It's interesting because women actually buy a larger number of gadgets now per year than men do. And I was very interested. I saw a study a couple years ago saying that Apple was the number one most favorite consumer brand amongst women, more than various retail outlets that you might have thought would be at the top of the list. And I think that that speaks to design. It speaks to the kind of fashion sensibility. It speaks to the usability that's really important to working women in particular. And as women make up the larger majority of the new income in the world, I think that you're going to see technology companies in general want to appeal to them more.
Well, Joe, do you think that this could be the beginning of cracks in the nearly all-male world of Silicon Valley, that more women take on more leadership roles in order to attract this very large female audience, which is the core shopping audience?
Well, one would hope that would happen. But, you know, Apple aside, Silicon Valley has long been and remains a men's club. And, you know, Twitter's board, for instance, is all male. And when Twitter announced that it was going public and people saw who its board members were, there was a lot of criticism of Twitter because it had no females. So the real question is, you know, is what Apple is doing, is that the exception or is it going to be the beginning of a trend?
Finally, let's take a look at some of the other stories we're watching. And I am declaring a cooling off period on looking ahead to the debt ceiling or budget negotiations. Joe, what are you watching?
I'm watching the Securities and Exchange Commission, which this week lost in court in a case it had brought against Mark Cuban, the flamboyant owner of the Dallas Mavericks. They had accused him of insider trading. The jury went out for 3 hours and found him not guilty. And the real question here is, you know, the SEC at the beginning of the financial crisis lost a case with two Bear Stearns people, and they were gun shy for a long time. And the question now is, they have a new chairwoman, and you know, will they be gun shy or will they come right back?
Rana, what are you watching?
Well, Charlie, I'm going to just, I think, barely skirt your rules here because I'm going to talk about the future of the dollar, which I'm thinking a lot about.
We'll
allow
it.
Okay, and I'm very interested to see what the data is going to be when it comes out in the next few weeks on the purchases by Chinese of treasury bills during the shutdown. So that data tends to lag by about 2 months. And during the last go around in August of 2011, the purchases did slow down significantly. Now, they picked right back up because if you remember at that time, Europe was in crisis, the emerging markets were tanking. But that's not the case now. The rest of the world is doing better. So I think it's going to be very telling if we see a real slowdown in Chinese purchases of T-bills, what that means for the dollar as the world's reserve currency.
Well, we'll be watching those stories and all the week's financial news at WNYC.org/business. You can take this program with you as a podcast available on iTunes. Joe Nocera with The New York Times and Rana Farooar with Time Magazine. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Charlie Herman. This is Money Talking from WNYC.